From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Split show for you tonight. Later on, Confessions of a Regressionist. That's right. Is there a life or time other than the present? So get ready for that. Here's what's happening. Just as Black Friday spilled over into Thanksgiving night, Cyber Monday now has gone from being a one-day event to a more than a week's worth of promotions and discounts. Online sales on Thanksgiving, historically not a banner day for e-commerce, jumped 17%, according to research conducted by IBM. On Black Friday, online sales grew by 21%. On Cyber Monday, online sales were up 24.1% compared to last year. Lots of folks shopping online. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and European officials have seized 132 websites for selling counterfeit merchandise in a coordinated crackdown, timed to coincide with the holiday shopping season. Now, this is the third straight year that the government has seized websites on Cyber Monday, the marketing term for Monday after Thanksgiving, when many online retailers offer huge discounts and promotions. Now, I don't want to alarm you if you live in Southern California, but Stan Deo, of course, an expert on earthquake predictions, has been looking at the possibility that something could be happening in this region. But maybe it's dissipated. Let's check in with Stan. Hey, Stan, first of all, hope Thanksgiving, you and holiday went well?
Oh, it did. Had my share of tryptophan and those nice turkeys.
It does it to everybody. Okay, now you have been looking at Southern California.
I have.
What do you see?
Well, you know, since we talked back on Thanksgiving, actually, I've been developing and improving my seismic forecasting algorithm, I guess you'd call it, and it's gotten to where it's really 90% accurate. I sent to you guys a copy of the map of the last just 3 days of earthquakes that have occurred where I've predicted it. Now, what I saw for Southern California, particularly the Los Angeles area, was a signal that would indicate that you're going to get about a 4 to 5 Richter earthquake within 1 to 5 days of when I made the forecast, which is around the 24th and 25th of this month.
Okay.
Now, we're getting a lot of small earthquakes in that area right now, and I'm wondering if that energy I saw build up is being dissipated over all those little minor fault lines that feed into the San Andreas around your area. Let's hope that's what it is, but if not, then I don't think it'll be bigger than a Richter 5 if it hits in the next 2 days. Maybe three.
Now, the ones that you've been seeing, though, you know, the fours, they don't do a lot of damage, do they?
Oh, no, no. And look, people in California, particularly in L.A., are pretty used to, you know, fours and fives and kind of go, oh, ho, hum about that. But at least we know that if it's going to be a bigger one, I will be able to give you warning. I've also offered the service free of charge to the Association of Small Island Nation States and to the Mexican Navy, which used to use it before when I offered it.
How accurate is this, Stan?
90% or better at the moment, George. I can't believe how good it is.
That truly is. I got a team, you and Jim Berkland together. We'll probably push it up to 95%.
You bet.
Okay, thanks, Stan. Stan Deo's website, by the way, standeo.com. It's part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. Do you remember the story I had some time ago about the man who won a cockroach eating contest last month in Florida? A pet store had given the contest. Well, the cause of death, nobody was, you know, why did the guy die? Well, this is the cause of death. He choked to death. 32-year-old man of West Palm Beach. He and several other contestants signed up to eat a variety of insects at a reptile store in Florida. After eating dozens of giant cockroaches, he was declared the winner. And he won an ivory ball python. Earlier in the night, he had also entered a super worm eating contest. But after winning, he felt sick, started vomiting, then he collapsed in the store, was later pronounced dead. The medical examiner's office conducted tests to determine the cause of death, and they've now been revealed. He died as a result of arthropod body parts, insect body parts, blocking his airways. Don't enter contests like that. They say smoking rots the brain by damaging memory, learning, reasoning, according to researchers at a College in London. They looked at 8,800 people over 50 years old, showed that high blood pressure and being overweight also affected the brain, but lesser extent than smoking. Doctors are warning that a lack of knowledge about the dangers of mixing some medications with grapefruit. Now, I heard this a long time ago. They say the fruit can cause overdoses of some drugs by stopping the medicines being broken down in the intestines and the liver. So be careful if you're taking a lot of prescription medicine and eating grapefruit or grapefruit juice. Britain on the grip of a winter vomiting outbreak, which has already been seen by thousands falling victim to this virus. Cases of the bug have surged to a five-year high. Frontline health workers are also being struck down by the virus. Hey, if it's in Britain, it's going to be here soon enough. A former space shuttle commander whose twin brother is married to former Representative Gabrielle Giffords will attempt the longest space flight ever by an American. NASA astronaut Scott Kelly and a Russian cosmonaut will spend an entire year aboard the International Space Station beginning in 2015. News over the weekend titled Bigfoot DNA Sequenced, an Upcoming Genetic Study, Proving the Existence of Bigfoot. It's a five-year genome study of DNA diagnostics yielding evidence, they say, of Homo sapiens, unknown hybrid species in North America. Now, the actual study is apparently under peer review and is anticipated to be released very soon. But we're going to check in with an expert on Bigfoot, a great researcher, Rettman Mullis, with us. Now, Rettman, this is not the Dr. Bruce Sykes genetic investigation, is it?
No, what happened is Igor Burtsev, I think it was on Friday, announced that the Melvin Ketchum study, which is the one that you're referring to, is going to be published sometime in the near future. And he also made mention on several of his posts that it wasn't being posted through the normal route. So he had helped her to publish through some Russian magazine. And Bigfootology has supported Melva Ketchum in what she's trying to do, even though we're also working with the Sykes Project, because we need the validity of both with both projects.
Sure.
Our concern at this point is, from what's happened in the last week since Friday, there's so much confusion going on, and there's so much information out there that A, compromises the traditional processes of publishing scientific documentation. If it's true what we were reading from Igor Burtsev, that it's going to be published in some Russian magazine, and again, all this is arbitrary. There's a lot of guesswork going on at this point because there's so much confusion. Then that would mean that she's not getting published through the regular route, and that causes us concern because it invalidates her study, as well as all the leaking going on will also put at risk that her study does not get published the normal scientific route. So we don't really have an idea of what's going on. All we have is what's being flushed down the pike. Now, Dr. Sykes and I had a very long phone call today, and we're probably going to talk about that more tomorrow, I understand, and the update that's going on with him. And he also expressed the same concern that if it's premature and they don't go through the regular scientific process, it's going to wipe out her study. And we don't want to see that happen. We hope that she takes time to do this properly. I know as a researcher and scientist myself, it can be very tedious waiting to go through the peer review process, but it's there for a reason. Those are safeguards to make sure that what is being published is actually credible.
And Redman, do we know what samples she might have used?
Well, they mentioned in the post that we know that she has three genomes. I'm not a geneticist. I leave this up to a couple of our people on our team that are genetic specialists. I'm just a psychologist, behavioral guy. So, but I do know that she has three genomes. She shared that with me last February. Mapped. They also have 109 samples. So there's plenty of evidence there. There's also a history of of unethical and shenanigans going on within that study that has a lot of people up in the air in the Bigfoot community. You know, she's got two basic camps. There's the people that say, you know, her study is illegitimate because of all the leaking and the questionable ethics that are going on with her study. And then there's the people that said that she can't do no wrong. And we're kind of in the middle. We understand the scientific process. We want her to be successful. We want her study to be credible. So, again, this is why we come back and say, please, Melba, do the right thing. Make sure you go through the proper process. And don't try to circumvent the actual scientific process of publication, because we want her to be credited. We want her to be credible. And so there's no ill will on our end.
Well, I found it a little unusual, Redmond, that a news release would go out on a PR newswire prior to this peer review being conducted.
And that's part of the thing that causes us to have the suspicion. Because if you understand the peer review process and publication process, you know that you don't just do a news release like this, especially over Facebook or where or Twitter or wherever else that they put this information out. It's completely unprofessional. And again, we believe that she's got a professional side to her, and we hope that she's able to maintain that propriety that has to go with doing this properly. So yeah, doing how the news went out and it's really technically a news release.
Yeah.
Because it only went out on Facebook.
Exactly. Well, Redmond, we'll be talking with you further on this. A bizarre story, of course, news release going out by credible people that Bigfoot exists, but it's going through a peer review. You just heard Redmond Mullis. He is an expert Bigfoot researcher. Up next, we'll be talking with Mitch Batras, what you don't know about new scientific findings. Mitch is next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. You've been sending me emails requesting Mitch Batras for more than just a news segment or an hour. He's with us for 2 hours tonight with our split program. Mitch has become, of course, an expert on Earth changes. And he has written a number of books. We're going to talk about a new one that's coming out early next year. He has experienced, of course, being in earthquakes. He's done it all. And here he is back on Coast to Coast. Mitch, how are you?
Doing great, George. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was fine. I was in St. Louis, saw the family, and had a great time. And I trust yours went well, too?
Sure did. Same scenario.
I can't believe another holiday Christmas right around the corner. They keep coming.
I noticed the Christmas attire and decoration the day after Halloween.
Yeah, they're pushing these things pretty darn fast these
days. They sure are.
Hey, so I saw there was a little M flare that popped us. Nothing too major. I keep thinking though, Mitch, it's just a matter of time when the big one's going to hit. That sun looks pretty darn active these days, doesn't it?
Well, it does. It's kind of tricky because it doesn't have the activity that solar cycle 23 had. Solar cycle 23, at its apex, we were seeing, you know, X flare after X flare, including the largest X flare ever recorded, an X45. So a typical person who monitors these events, maybe a kind of a working knowledge, is wondering, well, this seems kind of slow. Kind of a low end, but here's the trick: the solar events aren't measuring up to high M's or X class flares. However, something about them, which involves, of course, the Earth's magnetic field. Mm-hmm. The Earth's magnetic field is lessening, but there's something else going on that no one has been able to put their finger on. They're studying it very hard. That there seems to be some change in configuration that these lower events, such as an M1 or an M5, seems to have the impact of an X flare. And that correlation is transferring to the Earth's core, and that's what's causing these Earth-changing events, such as earthquakes and volcanoes, including hurricanes and extreme weathers of all types.
Mitch, by the way, has sent us some graphics. If you're fortunate enough to be by a computer, go ahead and start looking at them. We're going to talk with them a little bit later on about that and what these images all mean. So you're coming up with book number three next year, huh?
Book number three. I tried to get it out for Christmas time, but that's just not going to happen. You know, there's so much detail, as you know now, George, with the editor and publishing.
Oh, sure.
The whole bit. So we're going to get her out for spring, and we hope to get a release in mid-March.
What's it all about?
Well, it's an extension of my research. In my first two books, I focused totally on the Sun-Earth connection. At the time, it was cutting edge. In just a few short years, I got Solar Rain, The Earth Changes Has Begun. My first book was published in 2005. And my second book, Global Warming, A Convenient Disguise, published in 2007. So just in that brief time from 2007 to 2012, an enormous shift in scientific evidence has come forward faster than any time in history. Not a surprise with our computers and supercomputers and our spacecraft out into space, but the findings are in some ways, in many ways, mirroring the same relation that the Sun and Earth have. And that mirror is the relationship between our star, the Sun, and our galaxy, Milky Way. So there's an exchange that's occurring very much in the same way. In fact, in the new book, I have a new equation that I've put out that embraces initial reactions from the Milky Way, the center of the Milky Way, which now scientific evidence has been pouring out in just the last 24 months that there is a stream of charged particles that are kind of emitting from the center of the Milky Way that affects all of our galaxy, but of course our solar system as well. In turn, that's affecting the Sun, and the Sun in turn has an effect on all the planets, including Earth. So I'm looking at, in the new book, that relationship and connection between the galaxy and our Sun, and what are the effects of such? What is happening as a pulse of charged particles hit the Sun, and how is it changing the Sun? And then what, in turn, is its effect on Earth? And that takes me to the Earth's core. And I would say that I have at least four chapters just on the Earth core alone. From new data, new scientific.
Did you ever see the movie The Core?
I have not.
You've got to see that, because I would love to get your reaction to the possibilities of how real that might be. Not necessarily sending a group of people down into the core. I don't know if that's possible, but if the core starts, if things happen to it, will that affect us, Mitch?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to try and be as non-scientific as possible because I want people to understand this. This is something everyone can grasp. I'm going to speak in very simple language. The charged particles that are emitted, the galaxy, the Sun, and then hits the Earth's magnetic field and has a correlation with the Earth's core. And that's what's new. I remember I had Dr. Glasmeyer Dr. Woods on the show some years back, 2003, and I was talking to him. I was asking him about don't the charged particles, doesn't the solar flares and coronal mass ejection, doesn't that have an effect on the Earth's core? They wouldn't touch it. They said, no, the Earth's core is too deep. There's absolutely no way it could have an effect on it. Well, including Dr. Glasmeyer and Dr. Woods, they have done a full 180-degree turn on that.
They have.
They have. And now they embrace. There were some parts of the equation that they didn't quite understand because they didn't have they didn't have the equipment. They didn't have the technology that we have today. That's what's changing everything. And so I'm bringing all that into this new book, with the new the Plask out there, the WISE spacecraft, and then these new formulas that they have for calculating what's happening at the Earth's core, and this bridge between the magnetic field and the Earth's core. It's fascinating. And I really haven't felt so excited like this than when I was doing my research for Solar Rain.
Hey, Mitch, we're going to take this quick break. We're going to come back. I want to get your take on 12/21/2012, of course. Mayan calendar end day. We'll also talk about the weakening magnetic field here on good old planet Earth. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Well, first of all, a welcome back from Afghanistan today, the 5th Battalion, 20th Infantry Regiment, and glad you folks are all back safe and sound right now. And welcome back to Coast, Mitch Batras with us for a couple hours, Earth Changes Media, that's his website.com. Mitch, the magnetic field is weakening, no question about that. But what's that mean to us? What's the significance of this?
Well, the worst scenario would be the extinction of species. That's historically what could happen. Take, for example, the migrant birds, any type of migrant species. That's who would go first. That's where we would notice it most. And it's quite alarming to those who study that field or just animal lovers as a whole, whether they be amateur or scientific. And it is significant. Fortunately or unfortunately, this has occurred in many times to the Earth. Now, my personal belief is that it'll affect animals way before it would affect humans, not because we're at the top of the heap and, you know, we can think and reason and so forth, but actually just the opposite, because our senses have become so dumbed down. I think early on, really, if you just go back three generations, I think our natural five senses, maybe for some people a sixth sense, was more acute. And with technology, unfortunately, I think our ability to reason, to use critical thinking, to use, you know, reasonable judgment has gone down. And so I think because strictly to senses, that for earthquakes, for example, I believe animals feel it before we do. I think there was a time that humans did. When there's severe weather changes, I remember my grandmother, her bones would ache. I think it still happens, but I don't know if as many people notice things like that. There's so many disruptions that we have in front of us. So animals will feel it first. It affects the magnetic ley lines. We know that for a fact, that species such as birds, dolphins, whales, even some fish like trout follow these. I'm not convinced there's no hard scientific evidence. I believe it's our pineal gland, but some believe it could be very similar to what the animals have, and that's called magnetite. They have it's a mineral, and it's the magnetite that steers them, and they call it grids. Mm-hmm. Some people call it grids. Some people call it magnetic ley lines. Well, during a magnetic, as the Earth's magnetic field lessens, that's part of the magnetic pole shift. So the magnetic pole is starting to shift already. It's bouncing around the North Pole, not too far, goes into Canada a little bit, then it'll come back. It's just bouncing just a few degrees.
Will people physically feel the shift? I mean, if somebody's got a pacemaker, will that affect it? I mean, is there anything like that that would happen?
I haven't researched the evidence related to mechanisms. I have related to emotions, and there's quite a bit of data about that. There's something called a transcranial magnetic stimulation. It's a process that's replaced the old electric shock treatments that people would get. And the electric shock treatments, in a big way, the majority of them were for mental health issues of personality disorder or depression or mood swings, bipolar and such as that. Now, there's some hard evidence that shows that magnetic fields definitely have a play on a person's mental status and their affect. So this thing called the transcranial magnetic stimulation, it actually goes on the head. There's various forms of them. One kind of looks like a small little helmet. There's other types of forms. And they simply manipulate the Gauss the magnetic gauze of the brain, and they use it to treat anything from depression to schizophrenia. And they've had some fantastic results. So if that's true, and it is, then I can't see any difference in correlation from the charged particles, which is what magnetic fields are, from charged particles that come from our solar system and our galaxy, and any magnetic system that would be mechanical here on Earth.
Does that explain why some people, or so many people, are acting weird and strange right now?
Well, I oh, that's a loaded question.
It sure is.
You know, I would say that there's definite evidence that suggests that it certainly could be, but there's so many other things that you have to filter through. And if I was to enter this into a peer review, I have to be, you know, sharp as a razor, and I have to be ready to battle every single question that they throw at me. And they've studied my hypothesis as much as I have. So they, you know, in part of a peer review process, they really try to look for your weaknesses. Now, it sounds like, you know, they're just ganging up on a person and that's something bad, but no, it's actually very good. It helps everybody, and it's kind of a self-policing of this field. So if I was to present this in the form of a peer review, I could not support that it's the magnetic influence that is causing some people to act differently. However, having set that aside, I was more anecdotal. Mm-hmm. I would say that I would say that that is certainly having an influence. I don't know if it's got to the level that more people would experience it.
Can it get worse, for example?
Yes. Now you're on to something. If the theory is correct, then yes, we would see an increase as time goes on. As the Earth's magnetic field lessens and more charged particles are coming in, we should show a linear increase of unexpected or unusual behavior. Now, that's so subjective. You know, how do you define unusual behavior? That's where it would get tough. Matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the DSM-4 would be revised, and then the DSM-5, which is expected out, that they wouldn't have some of this in there, of mental health issues that psychologists, psychiatrists, or whoever might want to look at. Why? Because you analyze and you get a prognosis, and then you get a treatment for the prognosis. And the use of magnetic stimulation, which many insurance covers now, should be part of the tools used.
December 21st, 2012. It's only several weeks away now, Mitch.
Yeah.
So what do you see?
You know, I have to side with the Mayans. And the Mayans, they are really upset with this.
They are.
Part of their government, in Guatemala in particular, but in part Belize, but in Guatemala specific, which is probably the central focus where most Mayans reside, is the government wanted to cash in on it. They were making arrangements with tourist agencies, with the United States and Germany and around the world. And the Mayans, the true Mayan elders, they were so upset with that because they know it's a farce. So I believe that. Now, I don't think December 21st is going to be any different than December 20th or December 22nd or tomorrow or a year from now. Well, I take back a year from now. It's a process. The process has already begun, and this process covers many years. It's not like a light switch. It's not something you just flick on. I believe it to be a gradual process, and someone who's living out in the woods, maybe who's a vegan naturalist that lives in a commune of permaculture, they might experience it before someone like me who lives in a big city surrounded by electronics, just my attention is grabbed by so many. I might not notice it as quick. although I study it and I'm aware of it, I don't know, honestly, if I would be in that first quarter of people who would recognize that a shift is occurring.
Well, it's coming fast. We're going to find out, aren't we?
George, I'm going to turn it on you. What are your thoughts about that? You've interviewed a lot of people, both scientific and those that study ancient texts. What have you surmised, at least up to this point?
Well, you know, I believe, of course, we're going to be here, like you say, the next day, the day after, and everything else. I just think, though, the Mayans understood solar events, and I just keep thinking that this is all tied to some kind of celestial event on the sun, and that they knew it. There were cycles that they might have been aware of, and we may be in it. Now, it is unusual that as we get close to this date, stranger things are happening with the sun. So that's my guess. And I don't know if it's going to be on or before or after within a few weeks. I can't even predict that. I just think, though, they knew that something could happen with the sun.
You're absolutely right. Now, to use an analogy of two baskets, if you will. In one basket, I use hard science, external things that we certainly can monitor easily. One would be Earth changes. Another would be the sun and the galaxy. That is clear. Hard scientific data shows that without a doubt. The apex of cycle 24 is happening right at this time of it's already started, and it goes for about 3 years, so we're just a little bit into it. It'll probably go into 2013. We will see an escalation of solar activity. That's in one basket. The other basket is truly on an esoteric level, a metaphysical level. Will we, in some kind of spiritual way, or as a human species, be able to recognize a shift in consciousness, a shift in intuition? That's a much harder question, and harder to define and harder to analyze or how would you judge it? What would be the barometer? It's so personal that I don't know if there will be a collective shift. There could be, but I'm kind of the guy who, my good friend Greg Braden,
good guy.
He believes that, he's a great guy, yeah, that if, you know, if 1,000 people pray and meditate and do all the right things, that'll change the world. I believe, like, the 1,000 against the millions and billions. I believe more in what's called critical mass. Once a consciousness hits a critical mass, that's when the shift will occur. Just 1,000, millions and billions of people will trump 1,000 people anytime, regardless of their motive. However, people can influence people. And if there was enough influence, kind of a chain reaction kind of thing, we've certainly seen that in society before, and then it gets to a critical mass, that's when the shift would occur. That I do believe.
Mitch, you sent us some graphics here that we've got posted at coasttocoastam.com, and I'd like folks to go to it if we have a few moments here. And it's solar events, Earth's magnetic field, Earth's magnetic core. Tell me the relationship with this.
Yes, there's layers of the Earth. There's the crust. Then there's the mantle. Then there's the outer core and inner core. And then you have the core. So there's something that's happening through this. It's all related to magnetics. It's all related to these charged particles. An escalation of charged particles, a deflation of magnetic field is a strong impact on the Earth's core. So the Earth's core is heating up. To compensate for the heat, the core releases liquid, and the liquid filters through the outer core and through the inner core and outer core, and it does penetrate into the mantle. There's this phenomena called mantle plume. It's the mantle plumes that grows our mountains. It grows volcanoes. It bumps up against tectonic plates. It causes earthquakes. Mm-hmm. So the escalation of earth-changing events starts with galaxy and who knows where beyond that, then to the sun. The sun has an impact on the solar system, including Earth. We know the effects it's had on Mars. And, of course, there's a coalition on Mercury, I think it's a coordinated conference occurring this week with NASA about Mercury and its poles. Everything is shifting, and then it affects, of course, us and goes to the Earth's core. So the compensation, or convection, if you will, convection is a transfer of heat by circulation or movement. Simultaneously, the superheated liquid rocks from the Earth's outer core form these large bubbles. These bubbles are called mantle plumes. The mantle plumes rise and will hit the crust. When it hits the crust, depending on wherever it is, that either grows mountains, causes volcanoes, and causes tectonic plate shifts. We are seeing that now, an escalation of both earthquakes and volcanoes. It's heating the oceans. That is also the cause of the heating of the oceans. The heating of the oceans has thrown El Nino and La Nina, which was really kind of a, really didn't, I'm surprised it made it through peer reviews. I really am. All that means is simply oscillation or circulation, if you will, of the Southern Pacific Oscillation or the North Pacific or the Atlantic. It's all oscillating. And when there's a shift in ocean currents, that's what they call El Nino if it's in summertime, La Nina if it's in the spring and wintertime. All that means is that something is causing the ocean currents to shift. Well, in part what's causing that are the jet streams, the wind. The wind is causing the ocean currents to shift. What is causing the jet stream to shift? That goes to the magnetic field. The magnetic field shifts. When the magnetic field shifts, it shifts ocean currents, it shifts upper atmosphere, and it goes down to the ocean, shifts ocean currents, and boom, there's the Earth. That's how, in my original equation, that's how I'm able to calculate the strongest potential of Earth-changing events. If solar activity is high, or in this case, with the Earth's magnetic field lessening and the effects on the Earth's core, we're seeing some outbreaks occurring, one of which happened near New Zealand. What occurred there was just incredible. I think it was 10,000 square miles of lava was floating on the ocean there, found by the New Zealand Navy. And then they chased that down to find out where it came from, and it runs the along the Tonga-Australia fault there, what are called submarine volcanoes, and that's exactly what's happening. That area is sitting on top of a mantle plume.
Have we ever had, Mitch, have we ever had a time where everything happened at one time, earthquakes, volcanoes, in modern time?
No. Not in modern time. If you mean modern time to be, say, 120 to 200 years,
yeah.
No, I'm not seeing any evidence of that.
Could it happen?
Oh, it's happened many times. It's happened throughout. It's happened every 10,000 years, I'd say, which is about the time of the last pole shift. What they're finding is that these the pole shifts are occurring much faster than they ever realized. That they used to give these very long timetables, maybe 4,000 years or 40,000 years. But this is happening in something like 250 years.
Mitch, we're going to come back and take phone calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.